Happy Monday morning, Memphis, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. And not just Memphis, wherever you are listening, if you are a Grizzlies fan, happy Monday morning to you as well. Tonight, a lot of exciting basketball. We've obviously got the Grizzlies playing against the Rockets in what should be a winnable game, but a very important game for the Grizzlies. We'll get into that in just a moment. But also tonight, we also start to determine who the final four teams are in the NCAA tournament. Hopefully your bracket's not busted too much. I actually found out this morning, I thought that my bracket was busted a while ago in the one pool where I filled one out, but it actually is right there and has a good chance of I have a good chance of winning the pool. So hopefully you've got some good news on your Monday morning as well. In the first segment of today's show, we'll discuss the weekend's activities when it comes to the Grizzlies. A really encouraging, performance on Friday night. Obviously, a bit lackluster on Saturday night, but kind of expected against the NBA's best team. Back-to-back games against the NBA's best team in the Utah Jazz. A good measuring stick moment for the Grizzlies. And overall, I think there were plenty of positives and negatives to discuss. In the second segment, we'll get a bit more into the NBA trade deadline and specifically how moves that were made, but also some moves that were not made, impact the Grizzlies in what has now become a much more crowded effort for them to try to make the play-in tournament in the Western Conference. We'll get into all that in the second segment. And in the third segment, I'll look at tonight's game against the Houston Rockets and why it is a must-win, in my opinion, for the Grizzlies with their upcoming schedule, on the horizon when it comes to April. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at Stats SAC, the podcast wherever they're available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you choose to listen to podcasts, that's where we will be. And we ask that you review, subscribe. Let us know what you think about the podcast. We always want to make sure we are providing content that is relevant to our listeners' preferences. And we also want to remind you of our title sponsor, Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com right now. Use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. So going in to Friday night's game, the Grizzlies had positioned themselves quite well, knowing that they were going into a stretch where they were going to be facing the Utah Jazz in three of their next four games. They still have a game against the Jazz on the horizon on Wednesday night. But coming into Friday, the Grizzlies had won four out of five games. They were playing well. You know, their offense had kind of shown, sparks of life. Their defense was certainly giving them reasons to be competitive and win. So the Grizzlies had done a good job of at least giving themselves a slight cushion when it came to trying to get into, trying to position themselves as best as they could for as good of a chance as possible at the playoffs. As a matter of fact, they went into Friday having a chance to maybe even get into the eighth spot over the weekend. Well, unfortunately, probably the most expected result occurred. The Grizzlies lost both games to the Utah Jazz, but there also had to be some really encouraging signs with how the Grizzlies played, especially Friday night. Now, let's be honest. The thing that got in the Grizzlies' way was they just didn't get off to good starts. I believe that they were down by a net negative of like 24 to 26 points or something like that combined between both games. In other words, in both games, both Friday and Saturday night, the Grizzlies just got down big early and just unfortunately could not climb out of the hole that they had dug for themselves. However, that certainly was not due to a lack of effort either night, but also the efficiency was certainly there Friday night. As a matter of fact, they created themselves a chance to tie the game with the last second shot on Friday. It just didn't go in from the hands of Dylan Brooks. But the thing that really stood out on Friday were a few things. Number one, it was the Grizzlies' effort overall. They, as I had mentioned on Friday, the Grizzlies were going to have to play at their best to be able to play with the Jazz, and that's exactly what they did. They played with the Jazz the entire game. Right there with the Jazz when it came to shooting threes, right there with the Jazz when it came to assists, when it came to rebounds, when it came to shots. The Grizzlies were there with the Jazz overall, and they did a really good job limiting the Jazz when it came to their strengths. The Grizzlies only, I believe that they actually had two more assists on the game, but they also limited the Jazz to 12 from 36, one of the, I believe, three or four worst shooting nights on the season for a team in the Jazz that this year has been on historically good paces shooting the three in terms of both their accuracy and the amount of threes they shoot per game. So the Grizzlies basically took the Jazz's strengths away and then relied on their own strengths, points in the paint, assists, to give themselves a chance. But the thing that really stood out, of course, was Ja Morant. Against arguably the number one defense in the league, Ja Morant absolutely stood out. And you would think that the Jazz would make it to where they would really limit Morant from being able to play his game, but that's exactly what he did. On the night, Ja Morant had 32 points, had 11 assists, and also had only one turnover. That's only one turnover. And it was an historically efficient night for both the Grizzlies player and a player that is 21 years of age or younger. In terms of the Grizzlies, only Greg Anthony, Tyreek Evans, Sharif Abdur-Rahim, and Mike Conley. Those are the only other players in Grizzlies history who had had a game where they scored 30-plus points, had 10 or more assists, and one or less turnovers. Of active players that are 21 or younger, Ja Morant joined De'Aaron Fox, Trae Young, Kyrie Irving, Chris Paul, and LeBron James as being the only active players who, at the age of 21 or younger, had a 30-plus point, 10-plus assist, one or less turnover night, you know, in an NBA game. That's how just effective Ja Morant was. And it again created the Grizzlies, you know, gave them an opportunity to step up and have a chance at winning the game on Friday, though it didn't work out. Well, Saturday came and the Grizzlies got back down, you know, pretty big again. And that night, they just could not stop the Jazz. The Jazz went right back to shooting three. They made, I believe, 23s and 50% shooting from the field that night. The Grizzlies just didn't have an answer. They wound up losing by 16 points. But it was a fun night because several of the Grizzlies reserves, who you usually see, you know, not playing if it's a close game, they got to play. Killian Tilly, Xavier Tillman, John Conchar. But the big story was that it was the debut of Jontay Porter. At a time, back 3 or 4 years ago, a talent that was perceived to be perhaps a lottery talent, like his brother Michael Porter Jr., but it was the first time that Jontay Porter had been able to play in a competitive basketball game that counted at a high level in 3 years. The last time that he played was during the 2017-2018 game for Missouri. And the crazy thing is, he came in and absolutely produced for this Grizzlies team. In 7 minutes, Jontay Porter had 5 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 steals. He's only the 10th NBA player in history, in league history, to produce at least 5 points, at least 4 rebounds, and at least 2 steals in 7 or less minutes of a game, showing the potential that he has as being an across-the-board, you know, box score stuffer, you know, at the center or power forward position. Just a great overall performance from Jontay. Yeah, there were, you know, some struggles, but it was his first time playing, you know, competitive basketball in 3 years. So really encouraging to see him. I'm not saying that he's going to start getting 15 to 20 minutes a game, you know, as a post player for the Grizzlies, but it was kind of fun seeing, you know, his production out on the court. So overall, just an encouraging weekend for the Grizzlies. I mean, certainly, you know, it is, you know, frustrating that they did not get a win, especially coming up on Friday night, but this team was highly encouraged. They knew who they were playing against. They knew that they would have to play 8 quarters of solid basketball, and unfortunately, it just was not there to start the game. This Grizzlies team knows that they need to get off to a better start starting the game. Right now, coming into Saturday night, the Grizzlies were in the month of March, or excuse me, yes, in the month of March, they had a net negative. They had been down 43 points in the second quarter in the month of March. And they also, of teams in the NBA in the month of March when it came to the second quarter, the Grizzlies were shooting 24% from three, the worst in the NBA. So the second quarter has really, really been an obstacle for this Grizzlies team to overcome. And they combine it this weekend with also struggling in the first quarter, also where they've struggled, you know, to begin with, the lineup of Ja Morant, Grayson Allen, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, and Jonas Valanciunas has certainly not been as effective here recently as it was to start the season. Yes, they've been playing tougher competition, especially against the Jazz this weekend. But one thing that this Grizzlies team has to figure out going forward, and a lot of the, you know, Evan Barnes of the Commercial Appeal specifically asked the players this question, you know, what do they feel is the reason as to why they're getting off to slow starts? The players didn't really have an answer. They wanted to look into tape, which is understandable. They wanted to look into tape and see what's got going. But with the schedule that this Grizzlies team has coming up, they're going to have to figure out how to play that full 48, which they all talk about frequently, but also especially getting off to a solid start, especially in the first quarter going into the second quarter. That really seems to be the big takeaway in terms of a negative that's going to turn into a positive, is getting off to better starts. But certainly positive to see that the Grizzlies defense can get the assignment done when it needed to see the starters once again step up, including Ja, Dylan, and others, and it was awesome to see. Also, can't forget Jonas Valanciunas on Friday night, setting a new franchise record with his 5th straight game with 15 or more rebounds. You know, he had ended on Saturday night mainly because he set out, you know, to get some rest, but a really, you know, awesome, you know, contribution for him, once again highlighting just how consistently productive he has been. So plenty of encouraging things. However, despite there being plenty of encouragement from the weekend, it still was 2 losses. And as many of the players will tell you, they're not there for moral victories. Coming up in segment 2 and 3, I'm going to talk about how the Grizzlies' hope for the final play-in spot in the playoffs this year how their path has gotten a little bit more crowded than anticipated over the weekend, and why some things that happened at the trade deadline could impact them, as well as their upcoming schedule could make life a bit tougher, though this team certainly has the ability to get where it wants to go. Things are going to get a bit more interesting than many may have anticipated a week ago. I'll get into more detail on that here in just a second on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Both the men's and women's NCAA tournament fields have once again narrowed down, and we have had another exciting week in the NBA, and as we'll get into here in just a second, it's becoming a bit more crowded than some of these playoff runs in both the Eastern and Western Conference when it comes to the NBA. The stretch run of the NBA is here. Obviously, college basketball is getting to its most exciting time of the year. The NHL's out there. Major League Baseball starts this week. UFC, soccer, so many different things going on right now. And regardless of what sports you cheer for or what athletes you love, if betting and wagering is part of your fun as a fan, I've got the one place that has you covered, and that's betonline.ag. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. And it's not just sports action. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best place for your bets, and it's free to sign up. And the great thing about it is that they have you covered even to the point of allowing for you to just benefit from signing up. If you head to the website or use your mobile device and you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 50% off. You'll get 50% off a welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Again, head to the website or use your mobile device and sign up today using the promo code LOCKEDON to get 50% to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On with the great host, Peter Bukowski. Peter updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up this week on Locked On Grizzlies, we're certainly going to discuss, obviously, the Grizzlies play when it comes to, you know, having Utah on the docket as well as the Minnesota Timberwolves later this week. We'll also discuss, you know, some fun things when it comes to the Grizzlies. You know, I looked last week at Ja's performance when it came to his, you know, first 100 games. However, there's been some really fun things to see. Later on this week, I'll also discuss kind of how Ja's looking when it comes to comparing him through year two with other point guards, you know, that have been out there through their first few years in the league. So plenty of discussion coming up on this week's editions of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So this past week, obviously, the NBA trade deadline, you know, came to a conclusion on Thursday, and then obviously the weekend's play occurred. And so the Grizzlies coming into Friday had a three-game lead, you know, on a play-in spot. You know, they basically their spot to have a chance at the playoffs had a three-game cushion on it. Plus, they were even in a position to where if they would have, you know, had some success over the weekend, they could have pushed for the eighth spot. They could have come into this week with the eighth spot in the West. That didn't occur. And it's not necessarily a negative for the Grizzlies. Again, they were a big underdog in both of these games against the Jazz. And though they played well Friday night, obviously they lost that game as well as Saturday night's game. Well, the crazy thing is that it did actually get a bit more crowded over the weekend. And the reason why is because a couple of teams are playing quite well, including the Sacramento Kings. Here's kind of the landscape of where the Western Conference is standing right now when it comes to the play-in games. Now, of course, you know, when it comes to the Western Conference standing, you've got Utah, Phoenix, the Clippers, the Lakers, Denver, Portland. Those are your first through six seeds with San Antonio. Those are your first through six seeds. And so right now, Portland is 6.5 games, you know, behind Utah when it comes to the sixth position. When it comes to the seventh position in the West right now, San Antonio is 3.5 games behind Portland. So it feels like that the top six positions, even with the Lakers being without LeBron James and Anthony Davis, it seems like that those first six spots, they're in pretty good shape. That's how they're going to stay, though you could see some ups and downs as far as things go. But when it comes to the seventh position down, the San Antonio Spurs right now are 23-20. They have, and that's where they are in the seventh spot. The Dallas Mavericks are right behind them with a record of 23-21. The Grizzlies in the ninth spot are then a game and a half behind Dallas at 21-22. Golden State is half a game behind that at 22-24. And then you've got Sacramento, who in the 11th spot is a game out of a play-in spot. They're 21-25, and New Orleans is 1.5 games out. So right now, the Grizzlies come into today's game against the Houston Rockets. They're in the 9th position in the Western Conference, and basically when it comes to their play-in spot, they have a 1.5 game lead over the Kings, and they also have a 2-game lead over the Pelicans. Now, the thing is that the Grizzlies certainly have the capability, especially the depth that they have, hopefully with Jaren Jackson Jr. coming back at some point, the Grizzlies certainly have the depth to be able to stay in contention for that play-in spot. But the Kings have been playing quite well, and to be honest with you, out of all those teams that I mentioned, San Antonio, Dallas, Golden State, the Pelicans, you know, the Grizzlies, and all those teams together that are within basically 4 games of each other for those play-in spots, De'Aaron Fox may be the player out of all those teams who is playing the best right now. I believe that he now has 7 straight games where he's scoring 30 or more points. So he is single-handedly led the Kings into being in this picture once again. And the reason why I highlight, you know, just how congested, you know, the bottom of the Western Conference playoff picture is now is because several of the teams that are in this were teams that were expected to potentially sell at the trade deadline. And that was what was supposed to help the Grizzlies out, right? That was supposed to potentially work into the Grizzlies' favor to make it a bit easier road for them to be able to navigate when it comes to getting into the play-in spot and having a really good shot at making the playoffs. Well, the thing is that the Kings were potentially supposed to trade Harrison Barnes, maybe, you know, Rashawn Holmes or Buddy Hield. They didn't trade any of them. As a matter of fact, they added a very good guard in DeLone Wright, someone that the Grizzlies fans know, you know, to help out their rotation. They got stronger. The Spurs were potentially looking at seeing what they could do with DeMar DeRozan. Yes, they did buy out LaMarcus Aldridge, but he was someone that was expected to go anyway. They'd been playing well without him. And as a matter of fact, over the weekend, the Grizzlies, as was expected, they waived Gorgui Dieng. They did right by Gorgui, paying him his full salary as a thank you for working with them on letting younger players play. But Gorgui now being waived, he has gone and signed with the San Antonio Spurs. So the Spurs stayed as strong as they were by keeping DeRozan, plus got stronger getting Gorgui Dieng. The Pelicans, though they did trade J.J. Redick, they were expected to potentially part ways with Lonzo Ball and see what market was out there for him. They wound up keeping Lonzo Ball, who arguably could be one of the top 10 players among these 6 teams that could really be a difference maker down the stretch. And with how well the Pelicans are playing offense, if they ever go through a stretch where they figure out how to make things work defensively, they're going to be a true threat for a play-in spot. So you've got several of these teams that stayed stronger, not necessarily by adding a piece, though a few did. They stayed stronger, just as strong, or not even gotten stronger for the stretch run of the NBA because of the moves that they did not make. And yes, Dallas also did add J.J. Redick as well. But the thing about it is for the Grizzlies is that they're going to have to make sure that when they have games like tonight against the Rockets, and we'll get into that in just a second, when they have games like tonight against the Rockets, they're going to have to win as many of these games where they're favored as possible because their stretch run, number one, with how many games they have to play, but also with, as we'll see in a second, with the difficulty of their April schedule, it really is going to get interesting, especially if teams like the Kings and the Pelicans and the Spurs and, you know, and Dallas continue to play as well as possible. You know, the Thunder have kind of fallen out of the picture themselves. They did make it, send George Hill to the 76ers. I would think also, you know, the other thing to consider here, though, is that Steph Curry, who has been out now for, I believe, about a week and a half due to a tailbone injury, he's coming back as well. Be interested to see whether or not the Warriors are going to really try to stay in contention. They may try to, you know, for lack of a better word, tank, though maybe not, you know, directly. They may try to, you know, see what's there in the lottery. But for a team in the Grizzlies who have made it clear that their goal is to make the playoffs, it's become a lot more congested than we had anticipated. The Kings and the Pelicans are right there playing good basketball. The Spurs maintain their roster in place, plus adding Dieng. I certainly felt that there was a chance that, in general, some of these teams that were going to be right there with the Grizzlies fighting for a play-in spot for the final 2 spots in the Western Conference, I thought the Grizzlies' case, their positioning, would get stronger. You know, their ability to, they would be one of the stronger teams among this group. And while that certainly is the case, a lot of these teams stayed as strong or got stronger than they were before the trade deadline for the stretch run. So it certainly is going to be a journey for the Grizzlies. It's going to be a tough battle. They're going to have to win some games that they don't expect to win, and they're going to have to lose as few as possible of the games that they're supposed to win, and that begins tonight with the Houston Rockets. But of course, when it comes to the Rockets, you know, we've seen that, you know, they do play, they can certainly be a surprising foe if they do have Christian Wood in tow. And that's exactly what they have for tonight's game. The last time we played the Rockets with Christian Wood, they beat us pretty soundly. The last time without Christian Wood that we played them, the Grizzlies, you know, beat them by 49, which was the biggest differential in a win that the Grizzlies had ever produced in franchise history. So kind of a tale of two different tapes when it comes to the Grizzlies and the Rockets. Coming up, I'll discuss how tonight's game, you know, should be a pretty easy one to win if the Grizzlies simply play to their strengths. But also, beyond the fact that things have gotten a bit more congested at the bottom of the Western Conference for teams that want to make the playoffs, how the Grizzlies really need to win tonight's game with how their April schedule is laying out, especially with many of their games being on the road. We'll talk about that here in just a second on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Just like both the men's and women's NCAA tournaments, the Built Bar March Madness Challenge is coming down to the wire itself as we are getting close to revealing who is going to, or excuse me, what flavor is going to be the best when it comes to Built Bar. And of course, if you've heard us talk about Built Bar for a while now, there's a reason why. It's the best tasting protein bar on the market. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now's the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It's the Built Bar March Madness Challenge, and today's Built Bar matchup is Caramel Brownie versus Coconut Brownie Chunk. And if you've known my selections, it's been because of the brownie. But I think when it comes to coconut or caramel, I'm going to have to go with caramel on this one. Caramel Brownie would be my choice. If you go to BuiltBar.com or to Bar_Built on Twitter, remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchups and who will become the best-tasting protein bar in the Built Bar March Madness Bracket Challenge. The spring is officially here, and as we all know, especially here in the Memphis area, it's been a crazy start to the spring over the past few weeks. Just a lot of different, you know, rain events, severe weather events, whatever it may happen. Well, you know, unfortunately, one of the byproducts of all that crazy weather is that your car may need repairs, especially if you're going to be getting out and about more with it now being the spring. Well, if you need repairs, I can tell you the one place to go that should have you covered, and that's rockauto.com. Within a few clicks of the button, you should be able to find what you need, and it's likely they'll have what you need regardless of the make and model or the part that you're looking for. Whether you're someone like me who needs someone else to do repairs, you do your own repairs, or you do repairs for others, rockauto.com is a great source because yes, it will have what you need more than likely, but it also is economically feasible. This is a family-owned business. They know that car parts typically do fall out of budgets, and for that reason, they try their best to make things remain as economically feasible as possible. If you go to rockauto.com today, let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. Rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. Get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA Draft with the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. As we discussed, the Grizzlies coming in tonight's game against the Rockets. They've seen the bottom of the Western Conference playoff picture obviously become a bit more congested than it was even a few days ago. And so it makes games like tonight even more critical for the Grizzlies, even though it's a winnable game. It's clearly a game that the Grizzlies should win. They're favored in. These are the games where the Grizzlies have to gain as much ground as they possibly can by getting a needed win. And that's for a few reasons. Number one, you know, here over the past few weeks, you know, the Grizzlies have had a few games in which they've, you know, suffered some inexplicable losses. Now, they were able to make up for it by getting some, you know, unexpected wins. For instance, you know, the game against the Miami Heat a few weeks ago, we won 89-85. The game against the Boston Celtics, those were games you probably thought the Grizzlies may have been underdogs, in which, you know, they were, you know, in some places. But They got those wins, so it overcame the fact that they lost to a shorthanded OKC team and a shorthanded Golden State team, you know, in that same time frame as well. But at the end of the day, the Grizzlies still have a favorable position when it comes to the play-in game. but their schedule is not going to do them any favors over the next month, basically over the month of in the month of April, because not only will the Grizzlies be playing, I believe it's now five of their next, 13 of their next 18 games on the road, they're going to be facing teams that remain in the playoff picture, regardless of whether they're in the West or the East. They're going to be facing a big stretch of games in April in which they are playing playoff teams. So obviously they have the Rockets game tonight, and then they've got the Jazz once again on Wednesday. So the Grizzlies will be the underdogs against the Jazz. They have the Timberwolves on Friday, but then the Grizzlies play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 of their 17 games in April, after the first of which will be against the Timberwolves on Friday, the Grizzlies play 15 straight games, the majority of which are on the road, including a big seven-game road trip in the middle of the month. They play 15 of their 17 games in April, 15 straight games against teams right now that clearly have the intent of making the playoffs. That is going to be a huge stretch for the Grizzlies. Now, they should have the ability to win several of those games, but it just goes to show, whereas not only are the Grizzlies going to be playing more games than most other teams will, they're going to be playing a tougher schedule. So games like tonight, it's critical for Memphis to go 2-1 over the next three games, for them to be able, 3-0 would be wonderful, but they really need to get wins against the Rockets and the Timberwolves this week in order to position themselves as good as they possibly can before they take on that stretch of 15 games, a lot of which are against Eastern Conference opponents on the road. Well, the thing for tonight for the Grizzlies is that it feels a lot like that Oklahoma City game. You know, back a few weekends ago that we lost in Oklahoma City due to the fact that we could not prevent the Oklahoma City Thunder from shooting the three. In tonight's game, you know, the Grizzlies will be playing the Rockets. They will be without Victor Oladipo, who was traded to the Miami Heat. You know, obviously this Rockets team lost 20 games in a row. You know, their last win before that stretch was against the Grizzlies, and then they lost a franchise record 20 in a row. In the midst of that losing streak, they lost to the Grizzlies the last time these two teams played by 49 points. One of the best offensive games the Grizzlies had ever had, the biggest victory margin that they had ever had. But tonight, the Grizzlies need to make sure that they don't make this a trap game. You know, Christian Wood is back. He was a problem for the Grizzlies, you know, before he got injured in that game, you know, back in early February. You know, he's questionable, but if he is going to play, he certainly is a matchup problem himself. Eric Gordon will not be available due to injury. So John Wall obviously will be there. But the thing that makes this Rockets team still at least a team that you can't overlook is the fact that they are, you know, they are ninth in the league since the start of the second half, you know, that started for most teams back on March 11th. This Houston Rockets team is still ninth in the league when it comes to making three-pointers. They're making just under 14 threes a game, and as we know from the Grizzlies' struggles shooting the three, they have really struggled. The Grizzlies basically have been performing at a clip where they've been giving up four more threes per game than they're actually making. So against any team, no matter how good or bad they are, you know, that's certainly a hole that the Grizzlies need to make up. So the Grizzlies are going to need to make sure that's what the Rockets used to beat the Grizzlies in early February was shooting the three well. The last time, though, that the Grizzlies played the Rockets, the Grizzlies actually held them to 4-for-45 from three, which was a historically low mark for the Rockets and for the, you know, in terms of the Grizzlies against an opponent. So that's going to be the key again tonight. It always seems to come back to that, but the reason why it is because it is the truth for this Grizzlies team. How well they defend the three is really going to stand out. And then beyond that, just to keep things simple, if the Grizzlies just simply play to their strengths, on the inside, passing the ball, taking care of the basketball, creating turnovers, their depth should find ways to win, especially when it comes to the bench. But just a big, big game tonight for the Grizzlies. You know, they played well at times against Utah, but at the end of the day, they did come away with two losses. And for a team that clearly has aspirations to make the playoffs, now they're under 30 games left. They've got 29 games left this season. Things start to really come into focus, especially with how tough the schedule is going to get going into the weekend. We'll have all things Rockets Grizzlies tonight after the game in our post-game session of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. We'll have plenty to discuss. We'll look at a few other things coming up this week as well. Thank you so much for joining us again. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the podcast wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you find your podcast, that's where we will be. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope you enjoyed the game tonight. Go Grizz, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.